So today we are reading from the last little letter from John, 3 John. This third letter from John, it's the shortest document in the New Testament. It's the shortest letter in the Scriptures, just a few short paragraphs. And in those early centuries after Christ, the church saw fit. The church saw it fit that this little letter be included as one of the 27 books in our New Testament. There's a message here for us in this letter still today. It's not too often that we together get to read a whole book of the Bible together. So we're going to read a whole book of the Bible together. It's actually only a few short paragraphs, but 3 John, we're going to read it all together here. So, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends. Even though they are strangers to you, they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God, for they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no other support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing and spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Instead, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk together face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you their greetings. Greet the friends there, each by name. In these little letters from John, we have a message written to the church calling on these early Christians to live and to act in a certain manner as Christians. How important it must have been in those earliest days of the church for Christians to really live and act like Christians. Amidst the opposition in the world and the division of ideas and theology that was springing up, it was critical that those early Christians were living and loving like Jesus, that they were holding up the way of Jesus for the world to see. It's still important. It's clear here for the author in these letters that love is the key. It's a central focus throughout the letters, knowing the love of God in Christ, loving one another as Christ loves us. It's clear that living in the truth of Christ is key, walking in the way of Jesus. He's our example, our model in the Christian life. The early apostles to the churches, They would try to stay in relationship with the Christians in the early church through writing their letters, we know, where they would try to teach the people, where they would try to share the gospel, try to lead the congregation in the way that they should go, and that's what we have here. There's an ongoing conversation between John here and the community of faith. John continues to follow up with these people that he really deeply loves. He follows up with them a second time, a third time. There seems to be somewhat of a progression in these letters. He's got to clarify his message, his gospel message, it seems, as time goes on from 1st to 2nd to 3rd John, correcting the behavior of these Christians, making plain the gospel way and what that means for them in their particular circumstances. 3 John is written to an individual Christian in the church. John is writing to a man named Gaius and commending him for his Christ-like hospitality. He's also trying to encourage this man to lead him through some really, really sticky church politics. If you remember, in 2 John, there was some concern there about false teaching in the church, to encourage Christians not to show hospitality to false teachers. And John had some strong words for them, saying, many deceivers have gone out in the world. Be on your guard, he says, and do not receive them into your house. But here now in 3 John, the concern has shifted. The concern shifted, and it seems that perhaps there's some misunderstanding about all of this, and the concern now is to encourage Christians to show hospitality. There's some really interesting things going on in this scripture. John, he knows about this situation in this church that's arisen, where another man in the church named Diotrephes is not welcoming Christians, and he's being deliberately inhospitable, and he's telling others to do the same. He's even excommunicating those church members who are welcoming others, it says. I read one scholar suggests that it could even be that perhaps this man Diotrephes is trying to follow a more heavy-handed and a stricter version of what John himself said in 2 John about not welcoming those teaching against Christ. There's certainly a problem here, though, either way, because this man Diotrephes is becoming aggressively inhospitable. He's trying to turn his self-centered refusal to welcome others into some church policy. And so John, he has to clarify. He's got to clarify for us. No, we can't accept the behavior of these deceivers, and we can't accept this teaching that is so anti-Christ, as he said in 2 John. But now we're missing the point here. We've gone too far the other way, and now we've missed the mark in a bigger way. We've thrown the way of Jesus out with the strangers. It's really not what Jesus had in mind for the church. This is not an isolated incident in the history of the church. This has sadly been a repeated story for us, where we've mistakenly taken it upon ourselves to play the gatekeepers, to shut the door on those Christ calls us to welcome, where we've traded the narrow way of Jesus for our own ways, our own desires. John Pavlovitz is a pastor, and he served at local churches for almost 20 years, and then he started an online ministry to reach people outside, beyond. And his blog is called Stuff That Needs to Be Said. And much like John's letters, he wrote a letter to Christians in one of his blogs for us now, Christians now, and in this time of division. And it's written as if Jesus is speaking. And I just want to share some of the letter. It says, Dear Christians, he says, Dear Christians, I really need to let you know something just in case you misunderstand. This isn't what I had planned. You were made to deliver the greatest good news to a world so desperate for it. This wild, extravagant, world-altering love I have for my people was intended to travel from my aching heart through your trembling hands to my hurting people. This has always been your calling. I have placed you here at this exact place and time in the history of creation, not to defend me, as I need no defense, not to protect me, since I have already willingly laid my life down, not to judge others on my behalf, as this is far beyond your capacity and my instruction. My beloved, I placed you here not to defend or protect me, but simply to reflect me. That has always been my most critical commandment and your most pressing obligation, loving God and loving others. I thought that I was clear on that. I showed you how to move in this world. I kept company with priests and with prostitutes. I touched lepers and washed feet and dined with sinners. I served miraculous free meals to starving masses, and I allowed myself to be touched and kissed and betrayed and slandered and beaten and murdered. And I never protested. All that is happening these days, all the posturing and the debating and the complaining and all the insult slinging and the side choosing, does this really look like love to you? Is this the gospel I entrusted you with? It seems like a broken record, the way that John has to repeat himself over and over again. Love one another. Love one another. I heard someone say once that love will always be difficult for the humans who live on the face of the earth. And that's true enough. And so John here, he's trying to tell us again how to live and walk in the truth, love one another. It's a command reiterated again and again because we need it again and again. If we fail to welcome one another, if we miss the clear and the repeated command to love one another, then we've missed the heart of the gospel. If we miss this piece, we miss the whole thing. Our call is first to live and to walk in the way of Christ. We need a correction at times, it's safe to say, to guide us, to keep us in the narrow way of Jesus. To walk in the truth, to walk in the way of Christ, we need these reminders to look toward the example that Jesus set for us, the one who welcomed strangers, who went to great lengths in his love for us, to open the door for us, to welcome all of us. John is encouraging his beloved friend here again in this letter to imitate not what is evil, but what is good. And John commends him for his welcome of others, for his faithfulness in this. This is walking in the truth, he's saying. This man who's been so welcoming of others, this is walking in the truth. He says, I have no greater joy, John says, than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And the call is upon us here in 3 John to walk in the truth and in the way of Christ, to imitate not what is evil, but imitate what is good. Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual writer, was going to a monastery for a retreat. And the monks, they observed vows of silence regularly, and the retreat was to be meditative and prayerful. And now, and he was delayed, and he was late getting to the monastery on a really miserable and rainy night. And he rang the bell well after bedtime and was met at the door by one of the brothers. And the brother warmly greeted him and took his wet coat and brought him into the kitchen and made him a cup of tea. And they talked late into the night hours, and now and began to relax and feel ready for the retreat. But he knew that this monk really wasn't following the rules at that time. He was supposed to be observing silence, and so finally he asked him, Why are you sitting here and talking with me? And the monk replied, Of all the duties of the Christian faith, of all the rules of my order, none is higher than hospitality. We, as the church, from the beginning have been called to live, to love like Jesus, to hold up the way of Jesus for the world to see. And loving generously, radically welcome all is part of living and walking in the light of Christ. This is faithfulness in Christ. There's no higher order. This is the high calling upon us, the church. There was a long-haired young man dressed in ragged blue jeans who came into the church right as the preacher was just getting into the pulpit for a sermon. And the pierced and tattooed young man looked for a place to sit, but all the aisle seats were taken, and no one moved over to welcome him into the pew. And he kept walking forward all the way down toward the front until finally he just had to sit down. And he sat down cross-legged in the center of the aisle. Fred Johnson, one of the elders of the church, he got up from his seat, and he started hobbling down the aisle toward the young man, his cane clicking down the way as he progressed. And a hush kind of fell over the congregation. What would Fred do? What was he going to do? Would he give this man a talking to? Show him the door? Would he drive him out with his cane? Everyone held their breath in expectation. Even this pastor was speechless. And finally, when Fred reached the young man, he said nothing. He said nothing, but he slowly lowered himself to the floor and sat down beside him. And his message was clear. It was love. It was welcome. Beloved, it is the church who is called to turn and extend the welcome we've received, to give it away, to let the world know that the light and the love of Christ that God has for him. Let us walk faithfully in the truth and the way of Jesus above all else, living as he did, loving as he loved, welcoming others just as he has welcomed us. Amen.